Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcast is an educational broadcast. The content of this broadcast may be correct or incorrect. If you have any doubts about this content, you should do your own research and come to your own conclusion. And if you don't have your dancing shoes on now, you need to put them on, and we'll be back in just a sec here. Take it to the streets. We're going to take it to the airways. We're going to let the truth be known. We're going to tell it like it is and where it is. And we're not holding back anymore. We are done holding back. Welcome, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me this evening. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about everything, and we will be taking some calls a little bit later on. But I am going to spend some time tonight and talk about the largest debt instrument that is out there, and that is a derivative. You don't hear about them very often, even though the estimated amount of derivatives that are floating around globally is somewhere between 800 trillion, yes, trillion with a T, and a quarter of a quad trillion. A little bit hard to picture those figures in your mind, but those are huge sums of money, and they have a direct impact on what is going on in the United States right now and what is going on globally, especially over in the European Union with Greece and Spain and quite a few countries over there having their share of problems. Derivative is it's a financial agreement. In its simplest terms, it is a financial agreement between, most of the time, private parties, and it specifies conditions, dates, the resulting values of the, you know, variables that are in it, the notional amounts under which payments or payoffs are to be made between, you know, parties. Under United States law and the laws of most other developed countries, derivatives have special legal exemptions that make them particularly attractive. A legal form through which to extend credit. So they use these things for many, many different types of financial resources, not only in the United States, but globally. There are two basic types that we're going to be talking about tonight. Actually, we're going to talk a little bit more about one than the other one. But the two major types are called over-the-counter derivatives and exchange-trade derivative contracts. Now, over-the-counter derivatives are contracts that are traded and privately negotiated directly between two parties without going through any type of an exchange or other intermediary. And the reporting of, you know, an OTC derivative and the amounts are very, very difficult because these trades can occur, and they do occur, in private without being visible on any exchange. And according to the Bank for International Settlements, the total outstanding notional amount of OTC, over-the-counter derivatives, is 700 trillion. And that's as of June 2011. Okay, yes, I'm still here. I'm just looking through my notes. I want to tell you, and the reason why this is so very important is because derivatives and them being made legal in any way, shape, and form, and having this kind of debt, okay, $700 trillion, Now, I don't know about you, but I'm having a hard time trying to even imagine that amount of money stacked up on the floor in front of me. I mean, it is a huge, huge amount of money, you know, and it has caused severe damage to not only the United States, but the global economies as well. But I can assure you that this thing started over here in the United States. And if you go back to the early 1900s, 1903, 1904, you come up with something, you come up with small little businesses lined up along the streets of New York, Chicago, and several other large cities as well. And these were called bucket shops, okay? And they allowed anyone to go in and place literally and virtually a bet on whether you thought a particular stock was going to go up or down, or whether the interest rates were going to go up or down. You could place a bet. And it caused a lot of problems back in 1907. We had a stock market crash in 1907 that was directly linked to bucket shops and all this gambling that was going on. It was just crazy. Well, let's jump forward from 1907. They outlawed it after that, by the way, because of all the problems that it did cause. Less than a year later, it was completely illegal. There was no such thing as this, as derivatives and being able to place a bet on a derivative, unless you were a member of the New York Stock Exchange. And everything that was done back then after that time was regulated. But there's 2 years here that really concerned me a great deal. And they would have to be the year 2000 and the year 2001. The year 2000 shall forever be known in my mind as the year in which financial weapons of mass destructions were created, because a derivative is a financial weapon of mass destruction, I assure you. In 2001 shall forever be known as the year that unconstitutional weapons of mass destruction were created. When you consider the year 2000, you're probably thinking, well, there's nothing I can think of that happened in the year 2000 that was so devastating as to be called one of the two worst years ever. But let me assure you, there is. And now is your chance to finally find out the truth. I am about to tell you, because you will not hear it in too many other places, the complete information from any other source. This information, when all the pieces are fitted together, will paint a picture that is not only complete, but utterly shocking. In order to understand how and why America is in its current financial crisis, we need only travel back in time to the year 2000. And I know I've mentioned this at least once or twice. And something called, from the year 2000, the Commodity Futures Modernization Act of 2000. Although you may have heard of this,
You may also have heard that the truth can always be found in the details. And the details are what we are about to take a look at. But please bear with me and be patient. In the final days of 1999, and what was the 106th Congress and the ending of the Clinton administration, Congress met in a lame duck session to complete work on a variety of appropriations bills that were not passed prior to the 2000 election. There were other unmet priorities of some lawmakers that were also under consideration as well. One of those pet priorities was a 262-page deregulatory bill called the Commodities Futures Modernization Act. Although this deregulatory bill had been unable to pass Congress on its own since 1998, it was, for the most part, tucked into a bloated 11,000-page end-of-year conference report as a rider. With little time for consideration and no time for review, this bill was passed, hidden inside of the 11,000-page conference report, and it would be viewed only 8 years later as part of the failure of our political system that created a financial storm which has brought the world, yes, the world, not just the United States, to its knees. The congressional vote on this bill was 377 yes, 4 no. One of those four people that voted against this was Ron Paul. The saga of the Commodities Futures Modernization Act begins in 1998. At that time, the economy was booming. Stocks soared and new instruments of trading were found to make more money while not being regulated. Two of those new instruments were called financial derivatives and credit default swaps, although a credit default swap in itself is actually a financial derivative. The final language of the deregulatory bill exempted swamps, good one, exempted swaps and derivatives from regulation by both the CFTC and the SEC, which are Commodities Futures Trading Commission and the Securities and Exchange Commission. To make this even easier to understand, Wall Street was not regulated by anyone, and derivatives and credit default swaps turned Wall Street into, yes, a gambling casino. To further understand the substantial and devastating damage that was caused by this, we need to understand what derivatives and credit default swaps really are. A derivative, like I said earlier, in very basic terms, is a financial instrument. It's a legal financial piece of paper, and it has its value based upon something else. The paper itself does not have a value. And a credit default swap is a form of a derivative. Credit default swaps are not traded on any exchange and have remained unregulated by any government body. Credit default swaps are insurance-like, but don't be fooled. They are not insurance. They are like insurance-like contracts that promise to cover losses on certain securities in the event of a default. Certain securities. Now, this is where it starts to get really, really interesting. Certain securities, I'm just going to make a quick note on that, but we will call
the housing market. We will call all of those loans that were given to people and people that took them that gave stated income, that did not have to prove their income, okay? And all of this caused a huge amount of trouble for, like I said, not only the United States, but globally, because every country in the world either bought or sold or traded in these things. Because at one point, America was the greatest nation in the world. Until the global elite did this, did that. The list is severely long as to the things that they caused to create damage and destruction within the United States. This is the way it works, okay? The buyer of a credit default swap pays premiums just like you would to an insurance company over a period of time in return for peace of mind, knowing that losses will be covered if there is a default. It's supposed to work similar to someone taking out home insurance to protect against losses from fire and theft, except that it doesn't. Banks and insurance companies are regulated. The credit swaps market is not. As a result, contracts can be traded or swapped from investor to investor without anyone overseeing the trades to ensure the buyer even has the resources to cover the losses if the security defaults. The instruments can be bought and sold from both ends, the insured and the insurer. An original credit default swap can go through 15 or 20 trades. And there are literally millions of mortgages out there that fall into this category. If you go back to 2007 again and the collapse of Wall Street because of these things, I can assure you that this just did not happen, okay? The Commodities Futures Modernization Act did just not happen out of luck and chance to get passed in the year 2000, especially when there was only four people that voted against it. This thing was and is a criminal act. It is criminal. It is criminal. It'd be like me saying that I'm going to give you, let's say you own a house, okay, and I'm going to give you $10,000, okay, but then you can't pay it back, so, you know, I come and take your house, cut your trees down, do basically whatever I want. Credit default swaps are easy money for banks.
when they first started more than a decade ago, the reason was the economy was booming and corporate defaults were few. There weren't that many, if any, back in the late 1990s. Making the swaps a low-risk way to collect premiums and earn extra cash. The swaps focused primarily on municipal bonds and corporate debt in the 1990s, not on structured financial securities. Investors flocked to the swaps in the belief that big corporations would seldom go bust in such flourishing economic times. Then the credit default swap market expanded into structured finance, such as CDOs, that contained pools of home mortgages. It also exploded into the secondary market, where speculative investors, hedge funds, and others would buy and sell credit default swap instruments from the sidelines without having any direct relationship with the underlying investment. They're betting on whether the investments will succeed or fail. It's like betting on a sports event. The game is being played, and you're not playing in it. But people all over the country are betting on the income. There's several pieces here that we need to put together so we can get a complete picture of what is really going on here, okay? And I need to bring up 2001, and although this is what I'm about to mention is we could talk about for several shows probably, but 9/11 and the Twin Towers was something that caused not only a great deal of damage to many people in New York, okay, but to the entire country. People stopped purchasing. People became more afraid of terrorism than they had ever became in their entire life. Bills and laws were passed, and I'm not sure what year exactly the Patriot Act was put into law, but it's right around in that area. So we actually had it, and not many people can remember this, but you can find it if you go and look. Okay, but Henry Kissinger, who in the late 90s and late 90s and early 2000s, did something along with the President of the United States. Both of these people, not once, but twice, both of these people got on national television and told people, just because terrorists came over here and blew up New York, we cannot stop spending money. There are not enough people in America that own homes. We need to come up with new and different and creative ways to give home mortgages. Yep. The President of the United States told people to go out and buy homes. And Henry Kissinger did the same thing, and they encouraged. And all of a sudden, you found businesses opening up like quick loan funding. was one of them, and there were several other ones. And what you didn't need was you didn't need to have a great job to get a mortgage, because the banking industry figured out that Wall Street wanted and could sell mortgages, that they could put them together and pool them together, and they could get them rated, and they could sell them as investments all around the world, not just within the United States. They could sell them to every country in the world, and they sold a lot of them. Okay? But I am convinced that this was done by design. It didn't just happen. It didn't just happen. What, you know, makes anybody think that's in their right mind that people will give mortgages to people who don't have a credit rating? I mean, if you walked in and you breathed on a mirror and you left a fog, you could get a mortgage. Stated income. They did not even check to see how much money. You could tell them you made $200,000 a year. They wrote it down, okay? You were called a subprime mortgagee. Why would these people, why would bankers do this? Why would they give mortgages to people who probably could not pay them back? Subprime mortgagees, okay? Why would they do that? I'm just reading in the chat room there. I'll tell you why they did it. I'll tell you why it was done by design and why it just did not happen, okay? Before anybody in the world, any country, any other government, would buy an American security that is full of mortgages, it has to be rated, okay? So we have Wall Street bankers pooling these mortgages together, okay? And they are having them rated. Rated, because unless they're rated, triple A, countries, cities, towns, foreign countries will not and cannot, by their own laws, purchase these things, okay? But who pays the agencies that rate mortgage pools? Who pays those? The same people that are giving them to rate. And yes, they were in their pocket, okay? Because you take credit rating agencies like Fitch, Standard and Poor's, Moody's, and they were, they rated pooled mortgages for banks, and they rated them triple A, even though many people knew that the mortgages that we are talking about here were given to people called subprime mortgagees. They were given to people. They were also set up with adjustable rate mortgages. These people knew that these mortgagees were not going to be able to make their payments, that the time would come.
our government changed and rewrote laws, many of them. And you wonder why we've had so many corporations that have left America and went over to China, India, other countries, and why millions upon millions of people have lost their jobs and they couldn't make their house payment. But one thing that happened here is somebody figured out long before that, before the year 2000 even, somebody figured out that they could take out insurance, that this thing was coming down in gigantic proportions, that these mortgages would fail. So they took out a lot of credit default swaps, so-called insurance. So they had it made either way. Either they could buy a AAA, which wasn't a AAA, rated pooled mortgage, and they could collect the interest from that. Or if that failed, they could collect from a bank on the credit default insurance that they had taken out, even though it's not insurance, because like I said, banks and insurance companies are regulated, okay? Credit default swaps are not regulated, not one bit. That's why we don't know exactly what there is out there. You know, we can say $800 trillion in credit default swaps. We can say a quarter of a quadrillion notional dollars in credit default swaps is floating around out there, but we don't have an exact figure, and I doubt that we ever will. I do know one thing, though. It's the American public that pays for these things. Let's go back to 2008. Let's go back to why did we have to bail out the banks? Only one or two that we let fail. And many, many banks and even corporations received money. All these people played in the area of credit default swaps. It's a huge, huge amount of money that is floating around out there. And it will. The time will come when it will affect. It already has affected, but there's no other greater debt out there. And as long as we're talking about that, we might as well include, you know, the greed and corruption that goes along with them. That'd be like, you know, that'd be like making a bet with somebody on a football game or a baseball game and, you know, trading it and making money from it before the game is over because this guy did this or that person did this. You know, this is being, it's being done constantly. I need to take a short break here, so I am going to play a song and I am going to come back and we will continue on from there. I uploaded a song a couple of weeks ago, and I still have not played it. But I'm going to, and I know that I will because I'm going to find it. Huh. Okay. Just when you think you have everything all lined up, ready to go. Uh-huh. Okay, I got it. Okay, let's give this a try, and I'll be back in several minutes here.
Say it, say it, say it loud.
Okay, we are back. You are listening to Exposing the Illusion on the Patriot Family Radio Network. My name is Michael Magic, and we are talking about derivatives. We are talking about a global gambling casino, which basically what a derivative is. I'm just looking at some of my notes here, so. Again, the reason that I do truly believe, from the research that I have done, that credit default swaps, that the Commodities Futures Modernization Act was put into place because this whole thing was a plan. It was a plan to destroy middle-class America. And, of course, when you take down middle-class America, you're going to take down much, much more than that. Okay. I am going to open up the telephone lines. If anyone would like to call in, you may feel free to do that. I do believe that the time before something will happen is getting short. It's getting very, very short. I believe that sometime this year that we will have something. And there are so many things that could happen that it's hard to say. And maybe it won't happen this year. Maybe it will. It's hard to say. But we do need to constantly keep doing our research on this so that we can find the answers and complete the pictures to what is actually going on, not only in America, but around the world. Globally. Because after all, this is all about a one world order. There is no doubt about that. We need to inform as many people as we can, and we have a lot of great members here on the Patriot Family site that go about doing that. Not only on our radio shows here, 7 days a week, but we have people that go out in their neighborhoods, in their governments, and they explain to people what is actually going on here. And that is very, very important, for sure, I can tell you that. Welcome, Ron Golden. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. And how about yourself, Michael?
Well, I'm still recovering, so if I don't sound like my usual off tonight, at least I have an excuse.
There you go. Well, we're all recovering in some form or another, I think. You know, my son-in-law listened to a little bit of the show. You know, I got home tonight and he's pretty upset. And things just not going his way. You know, this week has been pretty rough on him, and pretty much everybody's got their hand out. wants a piece of him one way or another. And he's just, you know, he's throwing his hands up. He's frustrated and angry. And I kind of laughed, and I told him, I said, I feel you. You know, we all get that way. But it is life. And what's going on right now in the world is not all that different than what's gone on before. They're just really drawing things that, tightening the noose or closing the net, so to speak. And, you know, we have to make sure that we don't lose sight of the fact that regardless of what others want from us or out of us, we still have a life to live. And none of us get out of this deal alive. That's something my pops always used to tell me. You know, nobody gets out of this deal alive. So we need to make the best of what we have and try to make a positive impact while we're here. And I think that's important for everyone to keep a positive outlook, even though things don't look so positive right now. And I think you're right. You know, I was watching the other day. I just kind of sat back and looked at what's going on, this CISPA bill and some of the other bills that have passed more recently, seeing the election rhetoric turn and change, seeing the folks turning against Obama and the wheels coming off of his wagon, so to speak, and Romney's little rise to glory, and recognizing that it's all 100% orchestrated. And the one wild card that they hadn't really counted on, they kind of tried to discount him and have been trying to discount him, was Ron Paul. And now I think they're nervous that, you know, there might be a chance. There just might be an outside damned chance that he could actually end up getting the nomination. And I think they're stepping up the timeline just a little bit to make sure that they have things in place. And I think it's going to get very bad in the next 6 months to a year, if it takes that long.
I think you're right there, Ron. And I often wonder, in the many articles that I read, you know, every day, you know, every week, that, you know, how far will they let this go before, I mean, it's very obvious that, you know, wars have been going on for a long time. They've been funded on both sides. I mean, corporations, even governments make money off of these wars, okay? But they like to also use these as and this is really sad, I hate to even say this, but wars are used by the One World Order, the New World Order, the global elites, whatever you choose to call them, as a distraction. Okay.
Certainly.
And I'm wondering now, you know, if they feel like Ron Paul has a chance, if they're just going to pull the plug on the war thing, and therefore that would also allow them, if my memory is right, to keep Mr. Obama in there as well. You know, that's something to consider, and I haven't found any pieces to fit together to try to form a picture there yet, but I'd sure like, you know, what you think about that, if you think that's something that's possible.
Well, you know, there's always a way to plan around any event and always a contingency, depending on which way the wind blows. We saw, I saw tonight, an article that says that, you know, Al-Qaeda is losing their influence and their power. Really? You know, Roosevelt said nothing happens in politics by accident. And I agree with him. And we've seen for over a decade now, well, that Al-Qaeda is our mortal enemy. the war on terror. And I've been saying for quite some time that the war on terror is a fomented war. We've funded these factions. We've given them training and weapons. And they're good little nasty guard dogs, you know. They get out there and do the beck and call of the intelligence agencies. And it's real easy to get those folks stirred up at any time. You know, it takes very little. They play the problem-reaction-solution game on the poor, ignorant Muslims better than they play it on us, because they are so reactionary. And it's really easy to goad their reaction. But I see this article that Al-Qaeda is losing its influence and power. They said, in fact, they're just not in a position to pull off a terrorist attack on the scale of a 9/11. And I thought, you know, they never had the ability to pull off a 9/11. The idea that, you know, a bunch of idiots over in a cave somewhere, even if they were brilliant geniuses, the amount of coordination and all the things that needed to go wrong on 9/11 were beyond their abilities, quite frankly. I mean, it just really is. And I just wanted to say something. Oz was in the chat room, and I think, well, I guess he just took off. He was talking about debate. I put a link in there for an amazing debate. It's a movie called Collision. Don't know if you guys are familiar with it or not. Kind of changed the topic on you just for a second. But Collision was a movie, or a documentary, I guess, between the foremost intellectual atheist on the planet, Christopher Hitchens, and a Christian apologist named Douglas Wilson. And it started out on a blog, and someone saw the blog and said, wow, this is great, these guys debating the existence of God. We should do a documentary. They should have live debates. And they did, and they went around the country to different college campuses where they conducted their debates. And it was interesting, and they made a documentary out of it. So anyone that wants to understand the rules of debate and how to debate someone, it's a great video to watch.
Ron.
Yes, sir.
I have two more callers here. I have Linda Sills, our Wednesday night show host, and I also have Robert. And Linda, how are you doing tonight?
Fine, sir. Thank you so much for taking my call. Hello, Ron, and everybody in the chat room, let everyone out there. Just listening and trying to gather, you know, talking about when you talk about the powers that be and the trillions of it's pretty amazing. And I did say on Brian's show yesterday that, you know, at least the founders only had one tyrant to go after at once. It took them 8 years, and they had God on their side. Man, we're a mess. We've got it from everywhere. We don't just have one king. We got several. It's making me crazy. And you were talking about the Al-Qaeda and the war on terror. I guess somebody declared that the war on terrorism is over. And Jill Bachman stated on Glenn's show on Thursday that if it's over, then we dismantle the TSA and get them out of the airport. And everybody in Glenn's studio was applauding. I says, yeah, absolutely. They make me tired. It's so much BS that it's just, you know what I mean? Oh.
Well, the
Robert, what do you think about that?
I think well, they call it a man-made disaster, but I think our present government is a man-made disaster.
Well, I was going to say, I think that exactly. I'm with you there.
And number one and number two, yesterday, I don't know if y'all heard it, but we're now officially Greece. You know that, right?
Yes.
Oh, God.
You know that. And that's all I have to say. I have to make it real quick, but I just wanted to say I don't know if the Republic is officially dead because of that. And if it is, then I guess we're going to have to start our own Republic against them.
Well, Robert, I wanted to ask you something. How'd you do on your exam?
No, I'm taking it Monday morning. Right now, I traveled from Venice to Roygo, Florida, to have dinner somewhere. I was invited to have dinner, and I couldn't pass it up. So I'm meeting my friend's relatives, and then I had to do a quick phone call to say hello. And I was trying to talk to Brian, but something happened last night where the phone cut off, and I could never get back into the show. So I hope Brian's not wasn't mad at me for some reason. I got disconnected.
Yeah, he was getting disconnected too. So it was Blog Talk.
So that's what it was.
Yeah.
All right.
He had to call in two or three. I don't know.
Oh, so it was a Blog Talk disconnect.
Yeah. Yes.
I gotcha. But at any rate, after the exam, Ron, I'll be on your show. I'll come on Monday, and I got a lot to say. I don't know what the plan of action is now. We gotta have a plan besides just protecting ourselves, and I don't know what that plan is. I mean, just staying in here and being like sitting ducks if a Obama gets elected is a scary thing.
I don't think it really matters if Obama gets elected or not, quite honestly.
I mean, pick your poison,
Obama, Romney, either one. If you look at the in totality, the system that has been put in place by our government, it's frightening.
Yeah.
It is frightening.
You have unmanned aerial drones. You've got thousands of foreign troops on our soil. You've got courts, judges, police departments, sheriffs believing that they can just, you know, do whatever the hell they want to any citizen. We had a guy here in Georgia the other day that they had a two-hour standoff with the guy. He was sitting in his driveway with a BB gun. The cops got tired of fooling with him. They shot him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you know, we feared for our safety. Oh, horse crap.
Oh, God.
Well, that's where it's become. I'm sorry, Linda, but I just want to say, did you get my emails where my friend Scott in Atlanta said about have you shared it with anybody else?
I have not yet.
Yeah. Well, you can share that on your show because they need to know that. I mean, that's frightening in and of itself. I think that will explain the whole story of Wall Street and Main Street. What he said, you know, he could have figured it out, but now you know, I brought it to his horizon when I talked. We talked for 3 hours, Ron. I mean, 3 hours, a stranger. I mean, a guy that I haven't even met before, we became friends in 3 hours. And it's just like he doesn't understand it either. And I invited him on the show. He is just as disillusioned as we were. But
I think that, Oz was in the room earlier and he was talking about debate and a good book for logic and reason for debate, and I said I'd start with the Bible.
Right,
and I don't mean that to be humorous, because
I
came to the conclusion a long time ago that if you sit back and just read history from Genesis to today, it ought to become painfully evident that everything, and I mean everything, that goes on in the world is one of two things. Either people are trying to do the right thing or they're not.
Right.
And those that are trying to do the right thing look for government to pass laws, regulations, bills, rules, you know, ordinances and everything else to give them the presumed authority to do what is otherwise wrong.
Right.
But in the end,
exactly,
they're not justified, and they never will be justified.
Correct.
Plain and simple.
Well, even
everybody out there wants a piece of Robert or Ron or Linda. And if you've ever seen the movie, the original movie, The Matrix, as crazy
yes.
as it might sound, it's about as close to reality and truth as you're going to get, where they
yep.
have these people captured in these little pods, and
yep.
these people, they pipe in mental impulses, and these people believe they're living in a world that doesn't exist, and the whole purpose of them even keeping these people alive is to harvest their productive energy, their thermal energy. They're nothing more than
right.
damned batteries. And that's exactly how the ruling class sees the rest of us,
the rest of us.
As human resources to be
well,
harvested.
You know, right. You know, Ron, when you put in the chat room, you were talking about the ideology, and we talked about you put in to start with the Bible, and you know, the words of Jesus were not only logical, they're truth, and I put that in as well. And the reason that the Marxist ideology people, it always fails is because they're serving Jesus' adversary.
Yeah.
And it's pretty simple.
They reject logic and reason, and the reason they do that is because it doesn't suit what they want to do. They're like
right.
five-year-old little children who want to do something, and mom and dad says no, and they say, why? Because I said so, and that's not good enough.
Yep,
you
that's
see?
Correct.
They don't accept that there is a God, that there's a creator. They don't accept that
they
there's absolute truth, okay, and there's absolute morality. If there is no absolute, then nothing damned matters. You can just go out and be a rapist and a pedophile, and it really doesn't
matter. For a
matter.
Yeah.
You know, what's the point? There is no point. Life is pointless. And we're all just globs or bags of different molecules and atoms that happen to come together and form something that looks like a human being.
Exactly. Ron, I got to go, but I want to say we got to learn. There's one thing that I learned in statistics this semester. We need to learn how to fail to reject the null hypothesis that that's our government, period. And I
Absolutely.
Have to say goodnight, and I'll see you Sunday. Okay.
All right, guys.
God bless you, Robert.
God bless, Robert. Have a good dinner.
Enjoy. Wow. Yeah, you know, I mean, we got an upside-down world. Am I still on?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
Okay. Because I can't tell. No one's talking.
Well, wait.
Yeah.
I'm being quiet because I didn't want to, like, take over Robert's or Michael's show.
Michael.
Sorry, Michael.
Robert Michael. Anyway, yeah, I mean, there's everything is upside down. They're talking about, you know, using the European model of killing kids up to the age of three, putting children that are, you know, not quite up to par out of their misery, and yet the Cass Sunsteins and the EPA monsters of the world are going around, you know, forcing people to shoot their own pigs. But, oh, if you have a lame, you know, emu or whatever, you're not allowed to kill it. No, because they make up all the rules. It's nuts, and nobody's standing up against these people. Shoot the pigs. Hell, them EPA people would be so dead, I swear. Oh, it's a good thing I don't have pigs. I'd be in jail.
Well, it's racially motivated genocide on the pigs, you know.
It's completely – and then I'm watching this clip on the Internet with Bill O'Reilly, you know, shouting down that stupid some LaRaza Mecha chick. Who's screaming about not using illegal aliens as a phrase anymore, that calling that racist, I was ready to just, my head was about to explode. Oh, God.
Well, see, that's what they do when the truth offends them.
Yep.
That's what political correctness is all about.
It's evil.
It's about not being able to speak the truth, muting the truth in favor of some other explanation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing they're doing, besides the pigs and everything else with, you know, telling people they can't let their kids work on farms, oh, that's very Stalin in Ukraine of them. I mean, look where this is going. They're trying to shut everybody down. Some blogger was talking about nutrition, and they said they shut him down and threatened him with 120 days of jail because he didn't have a license to talk about nutrition on a blog, you know, and they're going after Ted Nugent tooth and nail. I mean, they're built,
right.
They're just...
Since when did my
God.
Opinion become fall into the realm of regulation of Congress? It's no different than the damn crap they're trying to pass with the IRS now. If you owe, not only do they want to suspend your passport, they want to suspend your Second Amendment rights. I got news
Absolutely.
For these guys. My rights are not frickin' negotiable, okay?
Yep.
And the government didn't create my rights. I created the government. And we recognize those rights, put them in a Bill of Rights to put them on notice that these are some transgressions that we will not suffer.
Yep, absolutely. And that Declaration of Independence, I'll tell you, I'm going to start memorizing that sucker. And you know, I just get so, we get frustrated, we get angry, we get weary because we're just, you know, they keep shooting the darts at us. And it's like hourly, not just daily anymore.
That's just it. And we cannot allow ourselves to become what we're fighting.
Oh, I know. Oh, I agree 100% because you cannot fix this with more of the same. No, all you're going to do is just make it worse, and you're going to fail because they have more power, they have more guns, they've got more money, you know.
When we succumb to the same ideology
that level.
And when we descend to that level, then what we do by doing that is we grant legitimacy to their whole ideology. We've got to land on truth, logic, and reason. Yes, sir.
Yep.
We have a, to my knowledge, a new caller that has never been with us before, and I did screen him, so we don't have to worry about that part of it. So. I think this is Dean. Welcome to our show, Dean.
Thank you very much for letting me talk. I appreciate it.
Fantastic.
Listen, I wanted to make just a comment here. You know, the conversation here, I think, is a good, healthy conversation. However, I don't think we're really hitting at the heart of it. You know, we're at the point in this country where we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. You know, this started with Herbert Walker Bush when he signed in the UN to Agenda 21, which is global governance through climate change. And then Bill Clinton adopted it through executive order, didn't go through Congress, didn't go through Senate, no courts. Mm-hmm. He adopted it, which is where Al Gore gets this whole thing with climate change. It all came from Agenda 21 that was passed before him. That's where he got this whole thing. Now, on March 16th, President Obama, 2 months before that, the UN came up with a global constitution, which is the judicial part of Agenda 21. It's the judicial enforcement part of Agenda 21. Okay, and on March 16th, President Obama signed an executive order giving him the power of martial law, both during the time of national disaster, war, or in peacetime. Now, through this order that he signed on the 16th, it says that he's allowed to take over every aspect of everything that happens in the U.S., transportation, energy, farming,
food,
virtually everything. And all of the power goes to the people he appoints. And there's a clause in there that says that if he does this, he can suspend the Constitution and suspend the Bill of Rights. He can suspend the upcoming election if he wants to, if he enacts this power that he has given himself.
Yeah.
So
That's not a new power, Dean, and I'm not trying to step on your soapbox, so to speak, but that power was in place long before Obama. It is a continuation of what was called COG, or Continuity of Government, and Rex 84 under Ronald Reagan. It goes back to FDR and the revision or amending of the Trading with the Enemies Act of 1917 that was done in 1934, and it goes back to the Trading with the Enemies Act under Wilson in 1917. They've been pulling this crap for a long time, working towards an end goal. Why we had the creation of the United Nations at the end of World War II. But I agree with you. I hear what you're saying, and we understand that the Agenda 21, the United Nations, the climate change, climate police, is another means or avenue of them trying to close this net around the whole damn globe.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing that's stopping them now from, you know, 176 countries have already signed on to this Agenda 21, this whole thing. The only thing that's stopping us now is us, because we're patriotic.
Yep.
We believe we're a good, solid, sovereign country, that we're different than everyone else, and we're standing in the way. So when you were talking about crashing the economy, if they can crash the middle class, they can crash our economy right down to the very bottom. And until they bring us to our knees and give us no other choice, then we stand in the way of this whole thing. And that's why they're doing this, by whatever means possible. The idea is to crash us to the point where we're on our knees and have no choice. You know, I say this all the time, that they create the problem and then step in as the savior to save us from the problem that they created.
That's problem, reaction, solution.
Absolutely.
They are squeezing the middle class, the folks that are paying the bills, they are squeezing us to death, and it's intentional.
Yes. Yes, it absolutely is. And people
what
say
did Lenin
that
call it? Bourgeoisie, middle class.
Yep.
Yeah, we're the biggest threat in this country is the middle class. Absolutely.
That's why they want to do away with us. Yeah.
They're also doing this global currency thing. You know, India is biometrically creating a database of all of their 1.1 billion residents. They're like two-thirds of the way through it already. Sweden has just signed on to it. We have states here in Louisiana and Colorado and North Carolina where they're using these biometrics where you don't need money. You don't need a credit card. You just use your iris scan or your fingerprint in order to pay at the store or do anything anywhere. You know, they're going to crash this dollar so completely and then put in this whole system that's this global currency, you know, like an old stink sci-fi movie where you just get paid in credits, you know?
Well, that's true, though. And, you know, I just saw Spain went cashless.
Yes.
Oh, great. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and we're next. They're already doing it. You know, there's a new law in Louisiana where you're not allowed to buy secondhand with cash because they're doing this under the guise of security because people are selling stolen stuff to these secondhand stores, and they want to be able to track that.
But wait a minute. Dean, the Republican savior, Bobby Jindal, is in control down in Louisiana.
Yeah, well, you see, and that's just the point. Everybody is in on it. Everybody.
I know.
Well, you know, when you talk about the creation of, quote, a crisis, this is very true. Do you remember Rambo, Deadfish, Emmanuel saying, never let a good crisis go to waste? That's what they're talking about. And nobody understands it.
And he got that from Brzezinski.
Oh, lovely.
I mean, you know, you got to go back. Look, these guys, there's one thing I've learned in politics is these jackasses are thick as thieves, and there was never a truer saying. You look at the neocon side, you've got both Bushes and Rumsfeld and Pearl and Wolfowitz and Dick Cheney and that whole gang, and they've been in it from the get-go, going back to the 60s. You look at the Democrat side, you got the same gaggle of thieves and crooks over there just with a different name, and they've got everybody believing that they all have a different agenda, and it's crap. They don't have a different agenda. The agenda is the same.
Yep.
By putting up this left-right paradigm of this apparent opposing sides, they get us arguing over crap and accepting solutions that aren't solutions.
That's absolutely
exactly.
It. Yep. So do you think that there's anything we can do to pull ourselves out of this?
Short of a revolution?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
I think it's going to be a mess.
I hate to say that. We've talked about it on Michael's show, on my show. Number one, we're not going to vote our way out of this.
No.
Yeah.
If voting were the solution, after 235 years of voting, we wouldn't have any friggin' problems. Okay?
That's for sure.
And I look at it as today's problems are yesterday's solutions. That's the way government functions. The only way we're going to get ourselves out of this is if the whole damn thing comes crashing down.
Right.
And it will. It will. We have no choice.
That's when, that's the moment when we have to rise up. Not until.
Yeah,
we have
to
raise up and take the reins, take control.
Right.
At that point in time.
And
if
when,
we can.
When this thing, when this happens, you know, like everything, nobody's good on timing. We don't know the timing of it. But if the if and when the economy just goes completely in the toilet, which everyone has been predicting since I've been talking to you and further beyond, what is our plan? Do we have a plan? What the hell are we supposed to do? I'm here. You're in Georgia. Da da da. This one's in that state, and that one's in that state. What do we do?
Well, I can tell you my plan, and it's probably not a very good one, and it's very selfish, but it's every man for himself. And, you know, I've got a family. I've got a network of friends and family around me. And, you know, I've talked to a couple of my neighbors, and we have to be able to pull together and work together. But we've got to get rid of all the petty crap.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? I think the idea is going to be, in order to save yourself, is to stay out of the system. If you can stay out of the system, then they're not going to be able to track you down the way that they plan on doing. I think the whole idea is just going to be to stay out of the system. And I think there's going to be a lot of, just like that old sci-fi movie, there's going to be a lot of people who are living underground where they're bartering to get what they want because they're trying to stay out of the system. I think that's the only way, is just to stay out of their basic database.
So Ron and Dean and everyone, are we just going to be the French underground? The American underground? Wow. I guess that's what we have
very
to
well.
Do.
Well, thank you for taking my call, guys.
Oh,
I appreciate
God
it.
God bless you. Awesome.
All right. Thank you.
Dean.
What's that?
I just wanted to mention that one of your friends is in our chat room here, Kyle. And
oh,
I want to
thank
you. I want to thank you so much because we are Christian conservative site. I want to thank you so much for the time that you took in helping Kyle.
Well, you know, I have a show here on Blog Talk on End Time Prophecy.
Feel free to put your link up in our chat room if you like.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you letting me spout off like that.
That was great, Dean. Thank you for...
Dean, you are talking to people that... I'm a little bit off on my game today, but when it comes to Ron Golden and Linda Sells, you're not going to find two people that know more about what's going on today than they do. I mean, they are right on top of it. So feel free to stop by anybody. I really enjoyed having you, Dean.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, Dean, what? While you're in here, why don't you give us the name of your show and what days and times that you're on?
It's just the W. Dean Shook program, and I'm on every night at 8 o'clock. Tonight at 6, we're having a prophecy roundtable, about 35 minutes, which is usually pretty interesting.
Cool.
And the rest of the during the week, it's 8 p.m., and everyone's welcome.
That's a conversation I would love to have on the prophecy, and I probably take a little bit different take, I guess, on things than some others. I'm more of a preterist than I am a futurist, but
that's okay. Yeah,
that doesn't mean that folks can't have an honest conversation, and we're not trying to beat each other up over whether or not God exists. I know He's real.
Yeah.
I don't have any questions there.
That's part of the problem. Everybody is so divided over the little petty things that really mean nothing that we can't get anything done because we're so divided.
Yep.
I'll tell you, I had a guy on my show that if you can get in touch with him, and I'll go back and see if I can find the email. His name is difficult. It's Cy Ten Brenquaith. He's from Canada, and I don't know what your experience has been on the Blog Talk, but I know when I was over on Freedomizer, every show that I had, I used to do a Sabbath hour on Saturdays. I would get just call after call after call of what I would call trolls calling in and wanting to argue you know, whether or not God exists and this, that, and the other. And I had Cy on, and he pretty much took over the show for 3 hours.
Wow.
I had one person who made one comment in the chat room off the cuff. Cy immediately hammered the guy, and he ran away. And my phone lines remained dead silent for 3 hours. The guy is unflappable. And one of the things that he does, and I put a link to his website, proofthatgodexists.org. And one of the things that he talks about that we do as Christians is we start arguing the scripture with atheists.
Yeah.
And he said, that is dead wrong because you are putting the word of God on trial.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Well, you know, besides that, God is self-authenticating. You know, if somebody really wants the truth, if they really want the answers, they can just go to him and ask, and he'll answer. That's where you're going to get the real truth. He is self-authenticating.
Yep.
You know, we don't need to argue that. Go ask him yourself.
Well, that's just it. That's what I was saying earlier. All of this junk that we go through, all these different ideologies, all these different philosophers and philosophies, you go back through history and read it, all they're trying to do is find a way around the truth. They're trying to say, okay, I reject that. I don't believe that's true. I'm going to find a different way, and every one of them fails. So that ought to tell you a little bit of something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ron, when I do read the history, what they're doing is they're trying to create their own reality, and all they create is
they're trying to put themselves
death.
Up as God. That's
yes,
the answer.
And what they do, instead of creating reality, they create a reality which is very dark and dismal, and it creates nothing but chaos, death, catastrophe, destruction, and misery. That's all they do. And it will happen every single time. I don't care. You can call it, you know, Pol Pot, Mao, you know, Genghis Khan, Lenin, stuff. Go through the list. They're all going to do the same thing because they're serving the adversary.
You know, I think it has to do with the lack of responsibility. They don't want to be responsible for their actions. You know,
I couldn't agree more with that.
I have a big thing about abortion. I'm really hard on abortion, you know, and with over a million abortions a year in this country, people don't want to be responsible for their actions. They want to be able to just go out and have relations with anybody anywhere and not be responsible for what happens, the consequence of that. You know, people want their own morality. They want their own it's the New Age movement. They want to create their own morality. Their own set of rules. They don't want to live by anybody's set of rules, you know, and this is widespread.
It's the nature of mankind. Yeah. You know, I heard a great joke that a pastor told, and he was talking about this scientist who died and went to heaven, and he was at the gates of heaven, you know, the old St. Peter at the pearly gates thing. And he tells St. Peter, he said, well, I don't know why you guys are even around anymore. We don't need you guys up here. We don't need God. We don't need heaven. We've got it figured out. So God comes out, and he talks to the guy, and he says, really? He says, you've got it all figured out. He says, absolutely. He says, so you're telling me that you can create a man from a handful of dirt? The guy says, yeah, we've done that in the lab. That's easy. God says, well, I'd like to see you do that. And he bends down and he scoops up a handful of dirt, and God says, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Get your own dirt.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of the problem, too, is there's a lot of people, especially in America, who are Christian in name only, where they're not actually who and what they say they are. And I'll tell you a story along the same lines that you just told, and that was a man went to heaven. St. Peter said, I'll be glad to let you in. Let me see your scars. And he said, scars? I don't have any scars. He said, really? You didn't find anything down there worth fighting for? Yeah, and that's absolutely true, you know.
Amen.
You need to fight. Wow. Freedom is not free. You know, if you're not going home to heaven with scars, then something's wrong there. You know, we need to be fighting for our freedom and for our liberty and all of this stuff, and we're just not doing that.
I'm trying.
I agree. And, you know, one of the things that I take out of you look at the Christ and his walk when he was here, and I get very agitated. Romans 13 is one of those things that I think people like to try and twist around. But he was telling people, get out of the system.
Yes.
Right.
Walk away.
Right.
Walk
yes.
away from it. When the man came to him and said, oh, I've kept all the commandments. I've done everything. I'm just an angel. What else do I need to do? He said, sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, pick up your cross and follow me. Well, he
follow
knew the
me.
Guy couldn't do that because he was too attached to his possessions and his life and his comfort.
Yeah.
It's
right.
no different than what we saw in the Exodus. After they got out of their captivity, they
yep.
wanted to go back. Why? Because they had a sense of security there. But what they didn't recognize is they weren't secure in God. They were secure in a false sense of security in the flesh with the Egyptians. Yeah, they knew where their next meal was coming from, but they had no salvation.
Yep.
And they
absolutely
couldn't
true.
Trust God.
Well, I think if we would, you know, 82% of all Americans claim a relationship with Christ, it seems like we'd be able to come together enough to do something in this country with the largest voting bloc in the whole country. And we can't even come together enough to put people in office that have values and integrity.
No, everybody gets hung up on doctrine. They all want to argue these different ideologies, these different doctrines.
Yes.
And it's like, but I thought you had, I thought, really? I thought Jesus
yeah.
Christ. That's what it's about. It's not about
yes.
this doctrine or that doctrine.
Yeah,
and that's why
true.
We have all these walls. The Baptists, the Episcopalians, you know, it's endless.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I think we're just we're doomed as a country. You know, if Obama gets elected again, we're sunk.
We're sunk no matter who gets in. The only honest individual that I've seen open his mouth in Washington, D.C. is Ron Paul.
Yeah.
And they're terrified
yep.
of him.
Yeah.
They're absolutely terrified of him because he doesn't get up there and give these 30-second sound bites. He tells you the truth. He tells reality. And that these people aren't used to hearing it. They think he's crazy.
But,
I know.
You know what we really need? We need, on our ballots, we need a none of the above. So that... when they start putting these people in there, you have to pick from Curly, Mo, or Larry that we can say, no, we don't want any of these three stooges. Give us somebody else.
Well, look, all we've got to do is go back to the Bible again. We saw what happened when they rejected God. They said, give us a king. Huh, no
yeah.
problem. Is that all you need is a king? That's a piece of cake. We can do that standing on our head. But let me tell you about your king before I give him to you, okay? He's going to be an
Not
SOB. He's going to take everything you have, and he's going to make you a slave. But if that's what you want, see, we can't serve two masters. And that's right. That's part of our problem. Dean, I called my family over to my house in 2004. And they all thought I was nuts then. And I told them, I went through the list, you know. I said, you know that what we're doing, this monetary system we have, is not in keeping with God's word. You recognize that, right? And they're like, well, yeah. So you understand we're dealing in something that God said not to deal in, usury.
Yeah.
And we're borrowing ourselves into debt slavery. You recognize that. They agreed with everything all the way down the line. I said, so at the end of the day, you look down and in your left hand is the world system that we're living in. It's a lie.
Yeah.
And you are remaining in it. You choose to remain in it. Are you not turning your back on God? I was crying.
Oh, my God.
We're turning our back on God by remaining
yes.
in this system.
Yes.
And it's time
yes.
that
right.
we stand up and turn our back on the ungodly system and walk away from it.
Well, I preach that all the time, but it seems to fall on deaf ears. And before I go, I need to go here, but before I go, you mentioned something about those trolls that come in the chat rooms, you know,
yes,
that
yes.
come to your program. I get hit hard, and I mean hard. Over the last 2 weeks, I've been averaging about – every second or third program I do, I'll get at least 200 of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. They'll fill up my chat room, and they fill up my phone lines. And if I take one call from
you
these guys,
right.
they seem to have a program that emits this loud noise. And then I have to sign off and sign back on in order to get back into the program. So I don't have the ability to take any calls at all.
Wow.
So
really?
You got to watch these. Yeah, you got to watch these people. You know, there's a couple other ministries who come to my chat room when I have controversial subjects. They come to my chat room just trolling for sinners, trying to convert them right out of the chat room.
Wow.
They just fill it up. You know, and then
wow.
it's only two, sometimes three times a week. But when they come in herds.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I haven't had an experience with hundreds of them, but I have had, you know, 30, 40, 50 at a whack
wow.
piling in and just inundating and putting up some of the most vulgar junk
yep.
in the chat and calling in, and it's childish.
Yeah.
It is.
Kids up past their bedtime. Well, thank you for taking my call. I need to run. I'm gonna follow your show. I enjoyed this very much. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank
I
you,
appreciate
sir.
It.
Thanks
All
for
right.
dropping in.
Thanks. Bye.
God bless. Awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that was a pleasure to have both Dean and Kyle with us, and we'll have to check out their show sometime, and hopefully they will pick up the link on patriotfamilies.com and join our website that we have. So many great people there, I'll tell you. It's incredible. I need to play some music. Please stay with me. We'll be right back after this. And I think this is what some of the rest of the people in the world need to know.
Yes. Do you want to know what love is? Do you want to know what real love is? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know real love. Welcome back, Ron Golden and Miss Linda Sills from California. Thank you so much, both of you, for helping me out tonight since I'm a little bit off of my game plan. You are listening to Exposing the Illusion every Saturday on the Patriot Radio Network. Welcome back, Ron and Linda.
Thank you, Michael. Go ahead, Ron.
I was in here chatting with Dean, and I'd be more than happy to help him out maybe a couple of nights a week on his show and run the studio for him so that he could do his show without having to deal with all of the trolls.
Oh my god.
You know, that can get to be a full-time job. Just trying to control them all.
Yep.
I mean, it can be overwhelming even if you're just a dedicated person and that's all you're doing.
You know, Ron, that's why
trying to keep
I don't
up with the chat and
yeah, that's why I don't do the little blast on the studio, inside our studio.
Right.
Because that invites them in. What I do is I have a huge list of people on my own stuff, in my own email from Gmail, and I just send it out to all my people in California that I know who they are. And so I pretty much kind of recognize the area codes on that particular day, so I haven't had that problem. And that's the only way I can get rid of them.
Well, and you know... Go ahead, Mike.
You'll like this one, okay? Because I don't get that many, for whatever reason, callers in here, I take the time, whether it interrupts my show or not, usually someone else is talking, but I do screen all of my calls that I don't know the telephone numbers, and I didn't recognize Dean tonight, and I screened him.
Good. Excellent. I do get to go Friday night at 7. I'm going to probably leave at 4:45 to get down there because it's going to be crazy. Fridays in San Francisco on the freeway at that hour is nuts. But I'm going to go down to UCSD and see Dr. Paul. And everybody in my band of 21 people are going down there. And not only are we going, it's called Youth for Ron Paul. And he usually draws a huge crowd, so I would imagine I have a ticket from Eventbrite, which is an early seating, and it's a free event, so that was cool. But I'm going to leave extra early to make sure that I get a place, and if Brian's on the air, then I'll try to do some on-the-spot reporting and talk about the crowds, et cetera. But I'm so excited, and all of us at the Anti-Agenda 21 crowd are going to be handing out our information. I mean, we are spreading it far and wide, guys, everywhere I go. I'm not kidding. Every single event that I go to. Is what we're trying to do is to educate people, because if they don't know, they can't band together, if that makes sense. I mean...
Absolutely. I wanted to say this out loud on the air rather than just giving it to... Well, he's gone. I wanted to say this out loud on the air instead of just giving it to Dean in an email because I wouldn't want him to think that anything underhanded, and I don't believe that he would. But when you do a show and you want someone to be a quote-unquote co-host to run the studio and the chat to be able to boot people off and screen calls, you almost have to have them log in show, you know, start the studio and everything, and then the host actually call in
and go for it
to the show.
Sure.
And that's a tough one because Dean doesn't know any of us from Adam's house cat. And, you know, you're asking somebody for the ability
that
to
permission.
Log into your account. And that can be very, unsettling. But there is a way to go into the settings and set up a separate thing. So that someone like myself or Michael or Linda could log in as host, and then Dean can call in and do the show while the other person runs the studio to help keep the mosquitoes off of him, so to speak.
Man, that's a lot of bad stuff coming his way, because if he's king about biblical things, he's going to get it from every angle, I'm sure. I mean, when you were on Freedomizer, you got it huge. And I had one or two days of it, and then it kind of died off because I refused to do that major blast from the studio for that reason, because that was the only two times that I experienced it when I did those major blasts on Facebook or whatever it was. Because you're inviting the entire spectrum. So that gets a little... That's why I just made a list, and I just do a special blast from California to my California people, you know, and I give them two separate blasts like I do from Patriot families. So everybody pretty up to speed. Plus all these kids here, they when they see 7 p.m., I have to tell them p.m. Pacific, you know, for us. And it works out really well. So that's one way to go.
Absolutely. And you're right. You know, when I was over on Freedomizer, and it seems to be in the later hours that it gets
sure.
worse.
Oh, yeah. They're bored.
After mommy and daddy have gone to bed.
Yeah. Oh, sure. And they're in the basement. And they're smoking dope and drinking bourbon or whatever the hell.
And it is. It's absolutely childish. And, you know, the thing is, I know Dean, just from listening to what he was talking about here and what we all try to talk about on our shows, you know, we have opinions and an important message that we want to get out, and we want others to hear it. And it's just distracting.
It is.
To have all this folly
yeah,
going on in the background, and you lose control of your show. There's nothing you can do.
It's not fun. Well, you know, when you talked about the game plan, when this thing collapses, and I've been trying to do that with my really local groups. I haven't sat down with my family yet, but I will, you know, kind of one-on-one, because if I get them in a group, it's chaos because of the little kids. But I've been talking to a couple of my neighbors, and I'll be reminding people, and there's a lot of people in here that understand, you know, how nuts I am, but they kind of get the idea of the tip of the iceberg, and they kind of understand that it's not going to be pretty. And I go, look, let's always keep together. We'll protect this community here, you know, from whatever happens, and we'll help each other and stuff like that. And I want to make sure my family's on board with it, because I think that's all we can do, Ron. You know, once it melts down, and that's kind of why I'm really looking forward to the Indiana trip, because we can kick back, we can kibitz about stuff, we can banter about ideas and pray and, you know, get drunk once in a while and eat some good food and figure out what we're going to do, because we better know what we're going to do, because it's not going to be fun. So.
Well, and I think you're going to see, you're going to see who people really are.
Absolutely.
Those people that are good and decent people are going to rise to the top. And those that just want an excuse to be evil.
Anarchist.
They're going to be out in droves.
Oh, yeah. And I told my friend from Michigan, the other gentleman, because Michael's from Upper Peninsula, but David's from Clinton Township. And, of course, he's armed to the teeth, but he'd kill me if I let that out on the air, but. Nobody has his real address, so. But, you know, he's terrified. He knows, and I told him, I said, look, I said, I can handle the gangs because he's smarter than them. I could probably outshoot them. But when you're coming up against brown shirts and the U.N. a standing army, you can't fight that. Not for more than about 10 minutes, anyway. So.
No, I mean, you just look at all this, you know, they got unmanned aerial drones and all this junk. And the thing that worries me, and, you know, we were talking earlier in the show about the Al-Qaeda is weakening, blah, blah, blah. You know, that to me sends me a signal that, hey, we're getting real close, guys, to exactly where we want everybody. And so, you know, we can float a little bit of a fairy tale out there and,
mm-hmm.
and give folks a little false sense of security, perhaps. I'm not taking my eyes off of my government for one moment.
One second. I got news for you. Glenn just blew all that out of the water with his rumors of War 3. He got six calls within 24 hours from Congress people going, damn, Glenn, you're the only one talking about this. And they, Gohmert and Bachman, were two that were on his show, on the actual radio show. The others, I don't I'm not privy to their names, but they get it. Michelle Bachmann was just steaming when she saw that. She and her committee are sending a steaming letter to Hillary Clinton demanding, not just ask for, but demanding. Now, what will come of it, I don't know. But because, you know, this idiot in the White House, he's like, he's in bed with the Muslim Brotherhood. He's absolutely stated it on the, you know, in public. He's invited them into the White House to not just be advisors, but to, you know, foment their Sharia law. Plus, you know, now he's going under the guise of helping small business. It's just insanity. And I told ISA about it, and I said, look, I said, why this guy hasn't been impeached today is beyond my comprehension. I don't understand it.
I don't know why the majority of them have not been put on trial for treason other than, the fox's guarding the hen house.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just the way it is. The only hope, and the only reason I hold out any hope, you know, with Ron Paul, it's inspiring to see someone who has integrity in the midst of the cesspool, number one.
Yes, yes.
But number two, if we could get a Ron Paul president and get control of the House and the Senate with decent people like his son and others who were like-minded, we might have a chance to vote the daggum UN
out
of our property.
Planet.
Okay? Sorry, guys, but the U.S. is withdrawing from the United Nations. You can take your treaties and, use them to light your campfires that you don't believe in because it would cause, you know, carbon emissions.
I would tell them to take all of their everything that they do and all their little UN stuff and their Agenda 21, cut it up into little squares and put it next to your toilet because when you run out of TP, you can use that.
Exactly. And then, you know, if you were going to use some kind of dictatorial power in the U.S., you would tell every state in the union, the supposedly union, that, anyone trying to implement any of these Agenda 21 policies or programs, we are going to crack down on you so hard that you'll wish you were never born.
There you go. I know. We've got to find
a
way around. it's our porn dream, yeah. Conservative porn dreams. I know. And I'm praying that we have a huge crowd for Ron next Friday. So I'll report back on that. And he usually draws a pretty good crowd, even in California, which is
fabulous.
He
draws
fabulous.
Huge crowds in California. Some of his biggest crowds have been in California.
Yeah, I'm excited. So how much time do you have, Michael?
He's got five.
We are out of time. I'm not even going to give you a minute. I'm just going to say thank you so much for what you do, and especially for helping me this evening when I was a little bit off of my game. The amount of time that you spend on here helping me is incredible, and I really do appreciate it so much. Everyone have a great weekend. And we're going to go out with a little bit of country music. You want to say goodbye? Say goodbye.
God bless.
God bless. Love you guys. Bye.
Clear creeks and cool mountain mornings. Honest work out in the field. Cornbread in my mama's kitchen. Daddy's saying grace before the meal. Family ties run deep in this land. And I'm never very far from what I am. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodland, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. moonlight, and you here beside me, crickets serenading in the yard. What more could two people ask for, laying here in love beneath the stars? Now this is where I want to raise my kids, just the way my mom and daddy did. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be, like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be, like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. I was born country.
God bless everyone. Thank you so much for joining. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to, because he is the ultimate. Blessings to all. Have a great weekend. See you next week right here live Saturday night with Michael Magic on the Patriot Family Radio Network.